Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And today we are broadcasting from Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators are back in action here tonight, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starting at 6 p.m. on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. It is a big one tonight for the Nashville Predators, D-Mace. Vegas Golden Knights get a win in overtime at St. Louis, so the Blues get a point. Vegas gets two. Quick turnaround in Nashville tonight. Willie Donick will join us in just about an hour. He's out at Morningscape. D-Mace is here. D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Nice wet day outside. But other than that, you know, things are great. I can't complain. I woke up this morning.
Most important thing?
Doing a radio show. That's all that matters. And my kids are healthy, so I'm good. But I do, you know, I do want to say something. It's pertaining to the Nashville Predators.
Okay.
Because every show that I listen to on our station, this is the big game. This is the big game. No, this is the game they prove that they can hang with the big boys. This is the game.
Well, they've been doing that.
And that's what I'm getting at. Like, when is it going to be? And I understand sort of the ramification. It's a big game from the standpoint of this. I think they still make the playoffs, but what spot are they in?
Yes.
Which wild card spot are they in? And the way they're playing hockey, I don't give a damn who they play in the first round. I think they're capable of winning. They've beaten the Floridas. They've beaten the Colorados. They've beaten every team that has come up against the Nashville Predators since, what was it, May? February, mid-February, somewhere around
after
there. After the Dallas loss. Haven't they proven that this is no longer a fluke? Mm-hmm. They are a good team. I think sometimes, you know, what happens is, well, I know what happens a lot of times with teams that change coaches, that have some new faces, change GMs or whatnot. I can speak from the coach part and the player part. When you change coaches, new players come in. You got to get used to, you got to buy into what they're teaching you. Mm-hmm. It's not that you don't want to do it. It's something new. I got to get myself used to doing this because I've been doing this for the last three seasons. Now we change, you know, we change philosophies, head coach. Now I got to learn how to do this. It's not that I'm fighting against it. It's that I'm learning in the process. Now, I'm going to pick it up pretty fast, but that's just me. The team as a whole may not pick it up faster than certain individuals. So when you see a team that struggle with a new coach, a coach that you deem is a good coach, a damn good GM, and has some good players, that first half of the season is going to be getting used to things, learning things. Not that I'm learning players, but I'm learning how they work in this new system. Mm-hmm. So by the middle of the season, if we are a good team, we will start to play. You will start to see it.
Things start to click.
It's not that we are on a roll now. It's just we figured it out now. We know how to play together. Now we are the team that we thought we could be at the beginning of the season, but it just took some time to get here. I think that's where the Predators are at, not right now. This was a team that I think once everything got established at the beginning of the season, in their minds, they figured, we can do this. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be some growing pains, maybe a lot of them. But once we get it together, and it depends on how fast we get it together, certain players got to get it together first. Once our older guys, our veteran guys, our leaders, once they get into it, they figure it out. Then the younger guys start figuring it out. Then the younger guys figure out where I am supposed to be within this scheme. How do I best operate? The coach knows now after 20, 30 games, okay, this player and this player, they play best together. Mm-hmm. Let's put them together. Hence the fourth line why they're playing so good. This is a team that had promise at the beginning of the season, but because everything was new, they didn't know how it was going to end up. Well, it's ended up pretty good because this is a good team. Mm-hmm. The core of this team is good. They just had to catch up to what Coach Bruno was teaching them, and they all had to buy in and trust one another. They had that. This was a good team at the beginning of the season, but because of the change, you didn't see it. Now you see it. This is no longer a hot team. This is no longer a team, at least in my opinion. They don't need to prove anything to anybody else. They just need to keep winning. Now,
it's
they're
not a hot
lose
team.
Some,
they're a good team.
Exactly. They're going to lose some games here and there. Just if they lose the next two or three games, are we going to think they're not a good team?
Of course not.
Hell no, that we're not. It's just ebb and flows of the season. They figured it out. They figured out how to play with one another. They figured out the scheme. Coaches figured out which line works best. Now we can be the team that we thought we were going to be at the beginning of the season. Regardless if they win tonight versus Vegas or not, this is still a team that you need to be watching.
Of course.
A team that you don't want to play once you get into the playoffs, because the type of hockey they're playing, fast, physical, all that smart hockey, and the goalie is playing lights out right now, both of them, not just one, both of them, Lincoln and two. It's going to be, I don't give a damn who they play in the first round. If they continue to play like this with those two goalies playing the way they're playing in net, not too many teams going to beat them. Not the Colorados, not the, no. Because
those teams can beat them.
They can beat
them.
And
the Predators will be underdogs. And
absolutely.
If I can avoid Colorado, I'd like to avoid Colorado. Mm-hmm. But I understand and agree with your sentiment. Mm-hmm. To go back to your initial question of why was we talking about how all these are big games, it's less in my opinion. Now, however everyone else feels, you know, Predators fans or anyone else on our station feels, is different. But the way that I feel is tonight's a big one, not just to continue that the Predators are a good team. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I'm going to think if they lose tonight that they're a bad team. They're on an 8-game winning streak and a 17-game point streak. And they've beaten along mm-hmm. those lines legitimate Stanley Cup contending teams. Colorado and Florida and Winnipeg, so on and so forth. They've beaten really good teams, and they haven't just beaten and squeaked by the hair of their chinny chin chin. No.
They've beaten them handedly. Yes.
They've dominated for a majority of three periods. They looked really good against good teams. And you know what you are if you look good against a good team? You're a good team, mm-hmm. too. To me, it's more so a big game because I'm looking at the standings.
Okay.
You got 11 games left. Mm-hmm. You are now 3 points ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights in the first wild card spot. You're sitting at 88, Vegas at 85, and you are even in the number of games played. You lose this game tonight. Vegas gets 2, you get none, you're sitting 1 point ahead of Vegas. So I look at it as tonight is a big one because tonight could be the point where you really do once and for all separate yourself and it feels like you're in a really comfortable position because it's 2 points that you get and 2 points that the team sitting behind you doesn't. You would then be at 90, Vegas sitting at 85, and of course you got 11 games left in the mm-hmm. season. Weird things happen, you know, teams get on hot streaks. You could get on a cold streak, knock on wood, so on and so forth. But tonight's a big one to me because of the separation in the mm-hmm. standings. Not because this team needs to prove anything more to me. This team has proven to me they've got guts and they've got what it takes to make a run in the playoffs. They've got what it takes to be a Stanley Cup contending team. I believe that because of what they've done since that truly awful and dreadful game against Dallas. Since the U2 concert, since Vegas, since the Sphere, everything that they've proven to me since then shows me that these are contenders. This team is a team that you don't want to face in the playoffs. But tonight, to me, is important because of standings.
And I get that part, the standings. But my thing is, they don't have to prove that they can beat the big boys. They've beaten the big boys. Whether mm-hmm. they lose tonight or they win tonight, if they lose this game, I'm not going to think, oh, they can't beat the big boys now. Like, man, they lost to Vegas. Whew.
No, I'm going to think, all right.
Okay.
You
how do you
ended
regroup
that
now?
Point streak. Uh-huh. How do you regroup?
How do you respond?
And how do you get back on track?
Absolutely. I mean, under a perfect idea, a perfect situation other than outright winning again, you want them to get 2 points or 8 points.
Of course.
You want them to leave with a point, period. But you know, the notion of, oh, they get to prove that they can, you know, they can hang with the big boys.
They've already proven that.
Now, you don't want to, you know, have Vegas come into your building and you lay an egg. You don't want that to happen. You want to be competitive. You want to go out there and continue to play the brand of hockey that you've been playing over the last month and a half. But if it doesn't work out, it, at least to me, it's not the end of the world. Yes, they may become, you know, they may end up being 2 points behind rather than five. I get it. And they need points, period, moving forward. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to make me think that, oh, now all of a sudden they can't hang with the big boys.
No.
I mean, it is what it is. They've beaten enough good teams on the road at home that I know that if they're playing their brand of hockey, they can beat anybody in the NHL. Not just anybody. They can beat anybody. Anybody in the NFL. If they continue to play the brand of hockey that they have been playing or close to it, they can either beat them or they can make it very competitive, come out of it, come out, you know, at the end of the game with at least a point. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm listening to our shows and you know, you hear the, oh, this is a big game. Yes, it is a big game. And I do understand, like,
and
you said,
it's
from
March.
Your standpoint.
Oh, exactly. Every game is big in March.
Absolutely. And from a point standpoint, where are you going to be? Are you going to be in the first wild card position or the second? Mm-hmm. But from a, what do we think about this team? Or if I think this team, you know, can hold their own against top opponent. Yeah, they can. They've already proven it. Mm-hmm. They've already proven they can. They've already proven they can shut out teams. They've already proven they can score 5-6 goals if they need to. You know, so to me, this is not a prove-it game against a big team. It's how do we stay ahead in the points race moving forward.
Well, they've proven that they have great to elite goaltending, mm-hmm. not just with UC Saros, but like you said, with Kevin Lankinen. They've proven that the Andrew Brunette offensive system works. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Saturday night against Detroit was the exception and not the rule. With
but they
how
found
this
another
Predators,
way to win.
They found another way to win. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, they've consistently been putting up 4, 5, 6 goals a game. Like, offensively, it's clicking. Mm-hmm. Defensively, it's clicking. And you're getting great goaltending. That's all the formula mm-hmm. of being a competitive team in the playoffs. And, of course, I know the Stanley Cup playoffs, weird things happen. And it's hard to win. There's a reason why it's regarded as the hardest trophy in sports to win. But still, this is a team that is playing like a contending team. Now, I think that, because you bring up a good point of every day, it's a big game. And when you use big game, it starts to lose its
yes.
meaning. Okay, every single game from now until the end of the season is a big game. I think that for me, the factor of if it's a quote-unquote big game or not mm-hmm. is if there's massive implications one way or another.
Okay.
That if you win the game, you put yourself in a great position, which I think if the Predators do win tonight, they do put themselves
yes.
in a good position mm-hmm. because they separate themselves with 5 points against the Vegas Golden Knights. It's like it feels like double points to me. Games like this mm-hmm. against teams that are on the bubble or, in this instance, Vegas, who's right behind you in a wild card spot, feels like double points because it's 2 points you get and it's 0 points that they get. So that's massive implications one way. On the other side, you can't call it a big game, and then if you turn around and lose, say it was no big deal, because mm-hmm. then it really wasn't
exactly.
that big of a game.
It wasn't a big game or not.
If the Predators do lose this game tonight, kind of getting a little uncomfortable. Now you see Vegas, they're creeping up. You only have a 1 point lead, and now you do. The Predators, as in you, the Predators have a more favorable schedule throughout the rest of their season. I know that they've got Colorado coming up on Saturday, but they've got the Coyotes, and they've got Chicago, and they've got underachieving teams on the rest
exactly.
of their schedule. Vegas does not. Vegas has a more difficult schedule coming up, so at least you have that kind of in your favor. But still, a 1 point lead, that makes you feel a little uncomfortable. So it's big swings. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say massive swings. I'm not going to say the hugest implications, because there are still games left in the season.
Yes.
But there's big swings one way or another in the standings, depending on the outcome tonight, which is why I think this makes it a big game.
No, I get it from that standpoint. You know, the point separation. You want to be able to go into a game, lead the game, mm-hmm. and either, you know, keep it status quo or expand your separation or expand your point differential.
You feel a little bit more comfortable.
Yes, you feel more comfortable.
So that way you're not going into the final few games of the season saying,
so
we have to win.
I get it from that standpoint, point standpoint. And it's really, you know, even though I think they do have a let me look at this. I was just looking at this morning. they do have an opportunity to, here we go, right here. They do have an opportunity possibly to catch, is it Edmonton?
It would be Winnipeg in the
Winnipeg,
Central.
Yeah, Winnipeg. So they got an opportunity.
You're 5 points back now, catch, Winnipeg.
Yeah, you have an opportunity to catch Winnipeg. So it's not just, to me, I would look at it from this standpoint. It's not just about keeping Vegas at bay. It's about now we are in reach of Winnipeg. We are in serious, like, realistically, we are in reach of Winnipeg. Now, I don't know how Winnipeg's schedule looks moving forward. We know that the Nashville Predators' schedule is more favorable to them, but I don't know how Winnipeg's schedule looks. But that's where
it's not easy. Yeah. They've got Edmonton tonight, Vegas on Thursday, Ottawa Saturday. That's just the next three games, but that's not easy in the slightest. You've got three, you know, playoff contending teams.
Exactly.
Right there.
So if you can. You can win tonight. You can pick up 2 points tonight and say you could pick up another two within the next two or three games. Then you put yourself closer if indeed Winnipeg does lose two of the three, hell, all three or one of the three. It does put you closer to Winnipeg. That should be, if you are looking at a prize or a goal, that should be the goal because that's right now, that's the only team that you can catch to sort of get out of that first wild card spot. Again, I know the point implications is big this game, but as far as, you know, how we match up against teams around the NHL, they've already proven. They can match up with teams, you know. They may not always be the better team, but because I think the way that they play, the attitude that they have, they close that it sort of balances it out once you get on the ice. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you may have a few more skaters than we do. You may have one or two more scores, but the way we play, you know, puts us closer to you than not. Not because we have what you have, but because of the grit that we play with.
And you can tell they're feeling it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been there, D-Base. Yeah. You know what that feeling's like in a locker
room.
It's
like nobody can beat you. Mm-hmm. It's not a cockiness. It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody, like, if we go out here and we do the things that we have been doing, no one can beat us. There's nobody can beat us. Our goalies are playing lights out right now. Nobody can beat us if we continue to play the way we have been playing. That's just confidence. It's not cockiness. It's not arrogance. It's just confidence that if we do the things that we have been doing thus far, then there's no – y'all should be more worried about us than us worried about you. Mm-hmm. You know, we know who we are as a team, and we're going to go out each and every day and play that way. Do y'all know who y'all are our teams as teams when y'all face us? That's the way I look at it.
This is no longer just some, you know, ho-hum rebuilding Predators team that's just happy to be here and would be lucky to find themselves in the playoffs. No. This is not a rebuilding team. Mm-hmm. This is, frankly, a fairly veteran team.
Yeah.
And this is a team that's playing better than any other team in the National Hockey League. This isn't a team that just be lucky to find itself in the playoffs. No! I said it yesterday, and I will say it again. This is no longer about making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's about what you can do in the playoffs. How competitive you could make a first round against a Colorado or a Dallas. It's about, can this team make it to the second round of the playoffs? Mm-hmm. This isn't just a we're happy to be here and we overachieved. No, 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 no. This is who this team is now. And that's a good position to be in.
Oh, it is.
You want to be in this position. And I'll ask you a question that I want to ask Willie. And, of course, Willie will join us here in just a few moments. He's out at Morning Skate. This is a question that I know Willie's going to hate. This is such an anti-Willie Donick conversation because I know that Willie likes to temper expectations. Uh-huh. But D-Mace, are the Predators a Stanley Cup contending team?
I think they are. You know, playing whether it's Colorado, Dallas, you know, Winnipeg, Vancouver, any one of these top teams, the Kings, Edmonton, they have proven either we've beaten them or we've played competitive with them, especially over the last month and a half. You've flat out beaten them. And you've beaten them in a way that, you know, a lot of people probably thought you couldn't. You outscored them, you know, and your your goalie and your defense played pretty good. Hell, you went and basically shut out Colorado with the exception of, what, the last two goals at the end of the game, I believe, toward the end. But you basically shut them out. this team, I'm not saying they are the best team, but, yeah, I think this team is capable of winning the Stanley Cup. The way they have played over the last month and a half, and I know, like you said, Willie will hate this
He'll
question.
He'll hate it.
Oh, he will hate it.
He's,
oh,
I already hear his eyes rolling.
He would try to dodge this question. He'll start talking in that low voice. Then he'll probably bring out some analytics or something else. I don't know. But Willie hates this question. But I think they can. I really do. Because you look at how they're built as a team. You look at the line. They're getting contribution from every line. Now, at the beginning of the year, we were trying to figure out what other lines are going to give us points besides the first line. Mm-hmm. What other lines?
Where's
are gonna,
the secondary
yeah, where's
scoring?
Where's the secondary coming from? And then all of a sudden, they kick it into gear. They figure it out. Now you got now you know where the secondary scoring is coming from. Everybody is pulling their weight, so to speak. And with that being said, I do think they have the DNA to win a championship, in the sense of they got, you know, Josi is playing lights out, mm-hmm. playing lights out. Soros is playing lights out right now.
Forsberg is playing the best hockey of his career.
Forsberg is playing the best hockey of his career. Then you got these young guys that are playing well. They're all figuring out how we play within this system. Mm-hmm. And then some of the older guys, too, you know, now they figured it out. So to me, this team with their coach, Coach Bruno, I think they have the DNA, or they're building the DNA to win championships. I think they can this year. Will it happen? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But listen, teams can get on the roll. People didn't think the 2017 Predator team would make it to the Stanley Cup. What happened? They made it to the Stanley Cup, you know, and then after that, you know, things just started piling up for them mm-hmm. as far as how good they were. We truly saw how good they were after that Stanley Cup run. But, yes, this team does have the capability to make a Stanley Cup run. Will they? I don't know. I really don't.
I think it's okay to say that they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're playing like one.
Exactly. Why would you be scared to say, after what you've seen over the last month and a half, good teams, bad teams, it don't matter. Home and away, it don't matter. This team has shown you that they can go out there and they can play really good hockey. They can play winning hockey over the last month and a half. That just doesn't disappear. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I could see if they're on a 5-game winning streak or something. Okay, let's taper it, you know, because it's 5 games. But they've been on this thing for almost a month and a half, I mm-hmm. believe. Spanning, what, 16 games, something like that? After, what is it, you do something for a certain amount of days, it become a habit?
Yeah.
30 days, 20 days, 21 days, something like that? Well, hell, they're close to it, aren't they? They're close to that 21 days or whatever it is.
They have not lost in regulation since mm-hmm. February 15th.
March 15th. Yeah, it's been over 21 days. So this is a habit.
It's a habit.
Yeah, this is who they are, people.
Yeah.
This is a habit. This is who they are. So if you know who you are, then, yeah, you would say, yeah, they can win the Stanley. They can go on the Stanley Cup run.
I think it's a natural feeling to get a little bit uncomfortable whenever mm-hmm. the expectations start to raise.
But isn't
whenever
that what
the
you want?
Ante gets upped. But that's a good sign.
Yes.
Because when your expectations rise, that means that the team is playing well. Mm-hmm. That means that you should expect more from this team. I think that they are a contending team because they've beaten other cup contenders, not by a fluke, and it wasn't just once or twice. Mm-hmm. It's now, to use your point, a habitual thing for this Nashville exactly. Predators team. Am I going to place money today on the Nashville Predators winning the Stanley Cup? No, I'm probably not, because I look at teams around the league like maybe the Rangers mm-hmm. or the Florida Panthers or the Colorado Avalanche that might be more equipped mm-hmm. to go throughout the entirety of a Stanley Cup playoffs, to be really competitive and to win those tightly contested 7-game series. So I wouldn't bet on it, mm-hmm. but why not? Exactly. Why wouldn't you call this team at least a contender? That doesn't mean that you're saying today that they are going to win. That just means that, hey, this team can be really freaking competitive in the playoffs. And if you've been watching this team, how could you not say that they wouldn't be really freaking competitive in the playoffs?
Don't be scared. Say it.
Go ahead.
Say it with your chest.
Go ahead.
Say it with your chest. Yes, they can win a Stanley Cup, okay?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. I want to get your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And we will absolutely revisit this with Willie Donick. I know he's going to hate it, but we'll help him through it. We're going to support him. We'll get him through it. We'll get your thoughts on this. Tim Hasselbeck will join us in 1 hour. We'll get Tim Hasselbeck's thoughts on the luxurious Sneed trade. But coming up next, I do want to transition quickly into some Titans thoughts, okay? Because I saw an article on ESPN.com about maybe some under-the-radar moves that every team in the NFL has made. TD wrote his under-the-radar move, and frankly, it wasn't one that I would have thought of, but I think TD is totally spot on. But is there enough around this quote-unquote under-the-radar move to really pay dividends? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your phones. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
What about the state of your defense? Can you go ahead and give us a little?
Yeah. I think our defense is, we've made pretty substantial efforts to improve it. Obviously, our attention to the corner position, we had some other targets that, especially up front, that we were trying to either bring back or go sign. And just like any free agency, you don't get everybody you're targeting. And so we had some targets that went elsewhere, and that's just the nature of it. But excited about the guys we've added. I think we've added some speed, some aggressiveness to the side of the ball that needs that. I think there's some guys that have some talent. I think Kenneth Murray is a really exciting player to add and see if this scheme fits him and see what he can do in it. And there's still more to add, too. We still got plenty of players that we can go pick up here at this point, particularly in the draft process as well.
Hey, there you go. That was Brian Callahan at the NFL owners' meetings yesterday. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays live out here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action against the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Also, this coming out about an hour or so ago from Paul Kuharski. Luxurious Need has passed his physical for the Titans, but per PK, still minor things to be ironed out to finalize the deal. So the official deal and the reason why we haven't heard an announcement from the Tennessee Titans is because the trade was pending a physical, so the physical has passed. Still minor things to be ironed out. Any ideas of what those minor things could be? And how minor are they?
I'm sure it's, monetary things within the contract, that language probably.
Stipulations.
Yeah, maybe they want to, clarify it better or change some wording. Because at this point, I don't think after this – After the physical, if nothing, and Paul is saying this, that, all right, it's all but done, just a few things to work out, tells me that it's not injury related.
Why do you think so?
Because I think there would have been more of a bigger deal than if they thought something was really wrong with his knee, because that's what everyone's sort of holding their breath about, and I get it. Whether you missed the game or not, I get it. But if they thought it was that bad, then I think there would have been more of a article from Paul. But it seems not to be that way. So it's just like, okay, there are a few things they just need to iron out within a contract. It could be language. It could be something Titans are putting in there to protect them. Mm-hmm. Not something major, but just in case. And then part of it could be, and I said this yesterday, putting language in there, which they probably already have, but putting language in there saying, if you don't pass a physical, this is what happens, and if it has something to do with the knee or whatnot. So there are things you could put in within the contract to sort of void some of the guarantees because he has a pre-existing, injury or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's anything that the Titans are concerned about that would stop this deal from moving forward.
I would think the only thing that would stop the deal from moving forward was the failed physical.
Yeah.
If there was a failed physical, then that would void the trade. But if he passed the physical, then fine. With the knees, as far as I'm concerned, is it a concern? I think it has to be. Anything that keeps a player off the field, practice field, playing field, whatever it might be, I think should be a concern and something that you monitor. But he still played in 16 games, and he still played more snaps than any other player on that Kansas City Chiefs defense. So, yes, it's something to keep to keep in mind, but no, it's not something that I'm looking at and I'm saying, how in the world could you make this move? The knees, because it hasn't kept him off the playing field. But you heard there in that clip from Brian Callahan, he talks about wanting to re-sign players on the defensive line, and Rand Carthon sat down with Jim Wyatt at the owners' meetings, and he was very candid, said, look, we tried to bring back Azeez Al-Shaair and Denico Autry. They just decided to go elsewhere.
Right. Well, hey,
that's the reality of free agency. Free agency giveth and free agency taketh away. Azeez Al-Shaair played for D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco. Denico Autry might be looking at it and saying, I could either make more money in Houston, or I'm getting to the end of my career, and Houston looks like it's a team more equipped to win than the Titans, and if that's what they want to do, then fine. That is 100% your choice. I wish you nothing but the best. But those are still positions that the Titans need to replace. I was looking at this article on ESPN.com, and it's the way too early power rankings, and with each ranking was an under-the-radar move. Now, the Titans are 25th in the NFL power rankings, up from 28. Great. It means nothing to me at this point, frankly. But TD wrote, an under-the-radar move that the Titans made in the offseason, hiring defensive coordinator Denard Wilson. Frankly, that wasn't something that was top of mind. If I were to pick a quote-unquote under-the-radar move, I maybe would have picked Lloyd Cushenberry, adding him onto the offensive line. But when I read that, I thought, Diddy, that's a great point. Because I'm excited and encouraged about what Denard Wilson can bring to this defense, and especially the corners that he's going to be working with, adding Chidobe Awuzie and adding L'Jarius Sneed. You've got a solid 1-2 punch there. I mean, I think Chidobe Awuzie is a very high-end two. L'Jarius Sneed is regarded as one of the best corners in the league, and then you've got Roger McCreary in the slot. Denard Wilson, who has proven to be kind of a whisperer in the secondary, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, what a match made in heaven. Mm-hmm. But there's still the concern lingering for me, D-Mace, of the secondary looks like it has the makings of being much improved, if not really, really good. Mm-hmm. But how good can the defense be with the defensive line and pass rush as currently constructed?
Listen, if you believe in what Denard Wilson can do from a secondary standpoint, which we all should because this team was,
he's got the track record,
was sixth in passing yards allowed this past season, meaning Baltimore's pass defense. They only gave up 16 points. A part of that is the defensive line, but also a part of it is the secondary. They have the best safety. He worked with the best safety in the National Football League in Kyle Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Now, you can say he's the best. He's damn sure top two or three mm-hmm. in his league. So he has had an opportunity to work with guys like that when he was in Philly. Philly had one of the best, if not the best, secondary in the National Football League.
And their secondary dropped off whenever he left.
Absolutely, especially when it comes to turnover. So this is what – and TD, I think he could be right on this one from this standpoint because they haven't done – you know, I don't – we talk about Cushenberry, but this is a guy that – you know, you bring him and you know he's going to be good. If he's not good, then you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So you bring in Calvin Ridley.
You know he's going to be good.
Yeah, these guys have proven uh-huh. that they can play. But Denard Wilson hasn't proven as a defensive coordinator what he can do. But we know what he can do from a secondary standpoint. So this could be, in essence, under the radar sort of higher sign, whatever you want to say, because now you got a guy that comes in with the pedigree for secondary, what has been our Achilles heels, secondary. Mm-hmm. That's been the Achilles heels for the Tennessee Titans the last two seasons. We've had a good defensive line. Even with a good defensive line, if those guys can't hold up when those defensive players don't get to the quarterback, you're exposed, and the Titans got exposed a lot over the last two seasons because they couldn't stop anyone in the back end. So you bring in someone that has flourished at that particular unit. Mm-hmm. Now you make him the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'm excited about the move.
I'm excited about it.
How could you not be fired up after his introductory press conference? I mean, my goodness.
Exactly, and then you got to pinpoint two guys that you wanted. Like, you come in as a new coach. You tell the GM and the head coach, these are guys that I like. These are guys that I would love to have. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Chidobe Awuzie or L'Jarius Sneed. These are the two guys that I want. Okay, we'll get them. We got them for you. Mm-hmm. That's a plus on both ends. A plus on both ends. Now what you got to figure out is what are we getting from our defensive line? You don't need big names to have big plays.
No, but you do need to replace D'Nico Autry's
You got to replace D'Nico Autry. But sometimes the sacks isn't the end-all, be-all. Even, okay, you bring in someone, he may not get 10 quarterback snacks. Quarterback sacks, not snacks.
I guess they are snacks
to defensive players, defensive line. But
breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Exactly. But you may get a guy that may not give you 10 sacks, but he gives you 6 sacks, 7 sacks, but he gives you double-digit pressures. Sometimes those pressures are just are more valuable or just as valuable as a sack. Why? Because now I'm throwing a quarterback off rhythm. Mm-hmm. The quarterback doesn't have the time that he needs to have to go through his progressions. If I'm up in his face, it's like, oh, my goodness, I got to get rid of the ball. Possibly somewhere that I really don't want to throw it or really didn't anticipate on throwing it. I put pressure on you. You try to throw that slant now. Now that safety comes down and he jumps it, it's a pick the other way. So it's not just about the sacks. I hope they're able to replace the 10.5 sacks that D'Nico Autry got us.
Yeah, sacks are still important.
Last year, yes.
Mike Keith doesn't yell pressure. Yeah. He yells sack.
But if I can generate pressure as well as get sacks, you know, ultimately, then that helps out the defense. Because now if I go into a meeting room at the beginning of the week, first thing the head coach is going to put up there, this team gets pressure. They put pressure. It may not always equate to sacks, but the pressure that they put on quarterbacks is tremendous. So we got to get the ball out quick.
But you still need to find someone that can do
that.
Yeah,
you still get and
like Denard Wilson, I'm excited about, and I think that he's a good coach. But I'll say the same thing about him that I said about Bill Callahan. Mm-hmm. He's not a magician.
No.
And he can't wave his magic wand, and all of a sudden Otis Reese turns into the next Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm.
But I think if you put guys in positions to succeed, then – they're more than you will see an uptick in their play. That's why I said you don't need marquee players to get marquee play. You know, that player wasn't a marquee player until he started making plays. Then he became this all-world player or this Pro Bowl all-pro player. But before then, it was like, okay, I hope he becomes what we think he can. This team is in that sort of mold because they're going to get the opportunity with the new defensive coordinator, Jeffrey Simmons, and now Harold Landry, 2 years removed from that ACL. You saw how he looked at the end of the season. Just think how he's going to look under Denard Wilson. This is going to be an aggressive, disciplined, in-your-face defense, and it's going to allow those guys to work best in sort of the space they feel is good for them, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, you may see an uptick with Harold Landry. You may see an uptick in Jeffrey Simmons. You may see an upkick in Aaron Key. All these guys, because the defense has changed, is going to be, I think, a little bit more aggressive, but not too aggressive to a point where I'm exposing. But now they feel they have two good corners. So now they don't have to – you know how many times they had to protect those guys on the back end last year? Mm-hmm. A lot. In their minds, they don't have to protect these two corners as much. You know what happens then? Now we can rush the passer. Now these guys that maybe had 2 or 3 sacks last year, they got 6 or 7 sacks. Why? Because now we can play on the back end what we really want to play. They do got to add a safety now.
Yeah.
I think they got to add another safety. But the way that they look, McQuarrie, Sneed, Chidobe, they have a good secondary. It can be even better if they add safety and how McQuarrie shows up in his third year. If he shows up and become one of the best nickelbacks, you got a secondary that could rival any secondary in the National Football League.
And I also think secondaries are made better by a really good pass rush.
Yeah, it does.
Because if you get to the quarterback, hey, they're going to be sitting back there saying, my job's done.
Hey, but they got to the quarterback last year. And they got exposed in the back end.
They got to the – I mean, you need both.
Yeah.
You need both.
So.
But now I think the Titans are in a position – look, you take care of the secondary. And that was absolutely a position group that needed to be taken care of. I say secondary. I'll say cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Because you still – like you said, you still need to address the safety position. Mm-hmm. That Imani Hooker is not going to be – you know, or Elijah Molden. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you can go into the season with just those two in that safety room. But the defensive line needs some attention. Mm-hmm. The defensive line needs some love. And now that it feels like this first wave of free agency is behind us, and we'll probably approach the second wave of free agency here very shortly, are the Titans now in a position where we should start taking a look at and considering a defensive player in the first round of the draft? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. Tim Hasselbeck will join us in 45 minutes. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, tune into 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Valparaiso with the pregame at 5:45 and first pitch at 6 p.m. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Willie D. Mays. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. And today, the studio is Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators take on the Vegas Golden Knights. Big one tonight. Willie Donick joins the program. Willie D., how we doing?
Hey, guys.
Uh-oh, your mic's not on.
Willie's mic not on. Man, oh, man.
We're silencing Willie.
Yes.
All right, now it should work.
Okay.
All right, there we go.
Willie.
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Good to be back in the Bridgestone Arena. Mm-hmm. And a big game tonight with the champions coming into town here.
It is a big one tonight. Demons was saying earlier, sick and tired of everybody saying it's a big game.
Willie, I'm sick and tired of that. But I do understand, like I told Caroline, because she did sort of, you know, sort of spell it out why she believes it's a big game.
I think it's a biggie.
Yeah. But I understand what she was saying from a points standpoint. This is a big game because you want to try to keep that distance between you and Vegas. But to me, whether you're in the first or the second, you're still going to make the playoffs.
Right.
This team, to me, has proven that they can beat the big boys. They've proven it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't, they won because of a lucky goal. No. They've proven that they can beat the big boys. So, to me, whether they win or lose, I want them to win tonight. I want them to at least get a point. But whether they get a point, 2 points, or no points, it's not going to change how I feel about this team. This is a damn good team. And they've shown it. I said, to start a habit or to break a habit, what is it, 21 days, doing something for 21 days? And you essentially either do what you want to do, become that person you want to become or closer to it, or, those habits that you have, you're able to break them after 21 days if you choose not to do it for 21 days. This team has proven this is who they are. Mm. They've been doing this over 21 days, Willie. This is who they are. They're a good team, Willie.
I think they believe that. I think they believe that for sure.
Oh, it's dope. They are.
And I think you just want to stay in that moment. You want to stay in the driving forward. This is the defending champs.
It's so, Willie, they've already beaten them once.
Yeah, they have.
Yes, yeah. See? Should we ask them the question or not?
What's the question?
We'll do that coming up next.
We'll do that later.
We will do that coming up next because we started off the show by saying, I said, I have a question for D-Maze, and it's a question that I know Willie's going to hate, and we're going to ask him anyway. So we will ask that question coming up next.
Coach Willie's really not going to like this question.
It's Coach Willie.
Exactly.
This question is not even in Coach Willie's vocabulary.
No, it's not.
Yeah, you're gonna go,
you might just walk out for a second. You might walk out for a second.
Go full on Coach Knight, throw your chair across Barrel House.
So we'll the anniversary of that was not far long ago. The chair throw.
Was?
Yeah, This Day in Sports, whatever. They had that video. That is one of the all-time greats.
I'm sure that's a day that a lot of people have not forgotten. No.
The day that lives in infamy.
Especially the ref.
That day.
Yeah.
Throwing a chair. We'll always remember that.
We will always remember that.
Yes.
And we will ask Willie the question that we all know that he's going to hate, but we're going to do it anyway.
Okay.
We're going to do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, hey, tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this week for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today at toyota.com.